Hi, I'm Oddball Sorf. What a great honor to be at Planet Shakers today. I'll be sharing on God's full overflow, how to see God's restoration in your life. I believe as you watch this message today, God's going to touch you, God's going to bless you, and God's going to launch you in His overflow. 2016 will be the year of God's divine restoration. God bless you.
Joel chapter 2, and I want to read from verse 21. The Bible says, "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice." I asked her, "Are you still alive here this morning?" "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice. For the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beast of the field, for the open pastures are springing up, and the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine. So I will restore to you." Hallelujah. I will restore to you. That's a promise to somebody. Listen. The years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, my great army which I sent or allowed among you, you shall eat in plenty and you will be satisfied. That sounds like overflow. You shall eat in plenty and you will be satisfied in your spirit, your soul, and your body. And praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. And you shall know that I'm in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God and there is no other. My people will never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Old men will dream dreams. How many dreamers in this place? Oh, we got a lot of young, old dreamers here today. Hallelujah. Old men, old women, over the age of 120 will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. How many of you see visions? Come on. How many of you have got a great vision for your life this morning? Come on. How many of you believe the best is yet to come? Come on. How many of you believe good things are heading your way? Oh, come on. In the name of Jesus Christ, overflow is coming my way. Also on my men servants, my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and pillar of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. It shall come to pass. Hallelujah. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We are going to see the greatest worldwide revival in the next 7 years that this world has ever seen. God's going to shake this planet and God's going to cause people to come into the house of God. Oh, come on. In the name of Jesus, right here in Melbourne, I prophesy that multitudes will be coming to the house of God. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy an overflow of souls in Jesus' name. I want to talk to you about the overflow, seeing God's full restoration in your life. I believe this will be a year of overflow, the beginning of the overflow, the beginning of divine restoration in Jesus' name. I want you to know that our God is a God of restoration. The things that are dead will come alive. What is lost will be found. What is bound will be loosed. What is oppressed will be free. What is barren will produce life. So you believe in God to fall pregnant and you married, you're going to fall pregnant this year. Come on, one lady in this place, say a good amen in Jesus' name. Our text is verse 25 and 26 in Joel 2. He says, "I will restore to you." That's not the person next to you, that's you. "I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust. You shall eat in plenty and you will be satisfied." Whatever's been taken away in your life, God says, "I'm going to restore to you." Whatever has been chewing away at your life, whatever has been causing you to live oppressed, whatever is causing you to crawl in this world like a servant, God says, "You are not a slave, you are a son. I will restore to you the years that the locust has stolen. I will anoint your head with fresh oil. You will be the head and you will not be the tail. You will be above and you will not be beneath. You will go over and you will not go under. You will be a winner and you will not be a loser." Come on. You will experience my overflow, my full restoration, not by might nor by power, but by the Holy Ghost. This is my promise, God says. This is why Jesus came. He came to set the captive free. So Joel is prophesying about the coming of the Messiah. When Jesus comes, the burden will be removed. The yoke will be destroyed. Your captivity will be taken away from you. That's why Jesus came. Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to announce the acceptable year of the Lord. That's why Jesus came, the Messiah. Jubilee, a new year. By the way, it is in the Jewish calendar, the Jubilee year. Did you know that? The year of overflow, the year of abundance, the year of restoration. That's what God says. I'm going to restore to you your marriage, your emotions, your finances, your peace. Shalom. I love that word. That was a moment in the conference. Shalom. I will restore to you your joy. I will restore to you everything that the devil has stolen from you. John 10:10. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life. Somebody say life. Life. No, say life. Life. Not life. 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 Zoe. That means life. I will restore to you. A lot of people in our world that are living under the oppression of the world system. The word that God gave your pastor, a word of overflow, is a prophetic word for you to change your attitude, your vision, your mindset, to believe that good things are heading your way. The best years of your life are still ahead of you. Years of overflow. Those things that chewed away from your life, you will experience those things no more. God says, I will do a new thing in your life. Come on, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. God will anoint you in a new way. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 16 and 17. Listen, he says, therefore, all those who devour you shall be devoured, your enemies. Sickness that has been eating away, consuming. God says, my spirit will devour it. How many of you played that game? What was it, Pac-Man? Okay, my generation, not all the young men. Bidi, 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 bidi. Things have been eating, things have been chewing, things have been consuming. God says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, my spirit will raise up a standard against him. Come on, I'm going to consume everything the devil consumed in your life. I'm going to restore everything the devil took out of your life. Come on, I'm going to bless you with abundance. I'm going to bless you with restoration. I'm going to bless you with favor. I'm going to bless you with the... Oh, come on, I believe it in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout overflow. He says, all your adversity, every one of them shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become a plunder. All those who prey upon you will become a prey. For I, God says, hallelujah, will restore to you. I will restore health 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 to you in the year of the overflow. And heal you of your wounds, your emotional wounds, your hurt, your brokenness, your despair, the battles you fight that nobody knows about, the betrayal you've experienced in your heart, the rejection. We give God the shout of praise. We build the altar of shalom in the presence of our enemies. But God says, at that altar of shalom, I will heal you. I will make peace with you. I will make a new covenant with you. I will set your feet on a rock. You will know me for who I am, your healer, your restorer. I will give you peace. Because ultimately, if we go through the motions without our heart shifting, the motions will not last. So God promises a work of permanence, church. Come on, this is the church this morning. I love the church. I love conferences, but I love the church more because we build in the church, line upon line, precept upon precept. Because you're in a journey out of failure, out of survival or through survival, the land of just enough, into the land of milk and honey, overflow more than enough. We heard that prophetic word throughout the conference, the word your pastor proclaimed. That the future will be better than your past. Your triumphs will be greater than your tragedies. Your miracles will be greater than your mistakes. You just got to believe it. And you've got to receive it. In Jesus' name, he says, I will restore to you health. Maybe you've been prayed for a million times. I don't know, but I want to tell you that in this year, while you worship, the presence of God is going to come and God's going to touch you. God's going to heal your physical body. God told me, said, glorify me, lift my name up. And as you do, my spirit will move in your midst. I will stretch forth my hand and I will heal people as they stand worshiping me. Expect God in this rich worship atmosphere to move, to heal physical bodies, to heal. Some of you have been touched in this conference. You don't even know it yet. But you're going to find out in the weeks that lie ahead, like that pastor shared today, how things have changed already because the environment has changed you. Restoration has begun. Overflow has begun. It is unstoppable. Say a good amen in Jesus' name. So four things quickly. In 4 minutes, no more than 4 minutes. How to see this overflow? Because although God makes a promise, it's not automatic. How am I going to see this overflow or full restoration? Number one, you've got to believe it. You go nowhere in neutral. You've got to activate your faith. You've got to get yourself in gear. Says three people who are in gear. Survival will get you nowhere. It will get you surviving. Actually, it will get you regressing. You have to believe. Everything we receive from God is by faith. Through grace, by faith. By faith, through grace. Grace and faith together. Grace and faith together. Grace and faith together. Great by grace through faith. By grace through faith. I don't deserve it, but I believe it. I cannot work for it, but I receive it. By grace through faith. It's not automatic. Although it's yours in Christ, you have to believe it. A lot of people in neutral. Because they're so focused on everything God did that they do nothing. There are some works of faith in the Bible as well. We're not talking about works of salvation. We're talking about works of faith. You've got to believe. You've got to do your part. God's not going to do what you have to do. So some people are in a coma when it comes to their faith because they say, he did it all, I have to do nothing. You're wrong. I mean, God did everything to deliver the Israelites from the land of failure, the land of bondage, but they had to get up. They had to move. They had to journey. And God said, I will not drive the enemy out of you in one day, but you will possess the land little by little by little by little. You possess the overflow little by little by little by little. You fight the good fight of faith. It's not just going to fall in your lap. You're going to have to fight for it. Fight for your dream. Fight for your health. Fight for your children. Fight for your future. Fight the good fight of faith in the name of Jesus Christ. That's not a work of legalism. That's a work of grace. By grace you are saved through faith. Not by grace you are saved. By grace you are saved through faith. Are you listening? Because half a truth is no truth. I'm not even going to go there. Because I'm going to have to pray for everybody's toes. Because I'll hurt most of your toes. Because you're in a coma. When it comes to the journey of faith. Gone from this way to that way. Now, when I say most of you, I'm talking about the live stream viewers, not you in church. So you've got to get a vision. You've got to believe it. You've got to get a vision for overflow. Somebody say overflow. What does it look like? What does it look like? What does it look like in your mind? Huh? Overflow. What does it look like? Vision. You need a vision, a clear picture, a preferable picture of the future. Vision. Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, people perish. You've got to believe for the overflow. You've got to believe for your preferred future. You've got to believe God for new things. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. Say amen. 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. Your prophet said overflow. I gave a word to our church of full restoration, which is the same thing. Overflow equates to full restoration. The beginning of our year. This is a year of full restoration. Your pastor says this is a year of overflow. And you, what do you say? What was that? What does it look like in your life? God shows it in Planet Shakers. At the conference, overflow, El Shaddai, more than enough. Jehovah Jireh, Yireh. There's the right pronunciation. Everybody say, rrrr. Come. Everybody say, rrrr. Now you can talk the heavenly language, Afrikaans. Praise the Lord, praise God. Revival sounds much more powerful than that revival. I'm just playing with you. Okay. I'm leaving tomorrow, so. You've got to believe God to do a new thing in your life. No matter how stale your marriage has been, 7 years of drought, God says a new cycle, 7 years of abundance, come on, which means a full cycle, a perfect cycle, come on, 7 lean years, God says seven years of abundance, I prophesy 7 years of glory over this house in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, 7 years of overflow, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, say it again, say overflow. Isaiah 43, God says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Now. Now. The overflow begins. Now. 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 Now the breakthrough. Isaiah 42, verse 9. Behold, the former things have come to pass. You've testified, Pastor Russell, about the great things that have come to pass. But God says, new things I declare. Bigger things. Oh, come on. I want to tell you, bigger things, better things, greater things, in the new things I declare. New things in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I preached this at the beginning of this year. I preached myself into a total another level with God. God told me, stop believing me just to build buildings and fill buildings. Believe me to fill stadiums in the name of Jesus. So I'm going a little bit higher in my faith in the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. New things I declare. Vision. God always talks through vision. Shows you the future. Number two, you've got to develop an overflow mentality because your thoughts are powerful. So while you're shouting, something's got to change between your ears. Something has got to shift. Because 3 John verse 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Spend less time in yesterday, more time in your future, in your mind. Stop less time in your regrets and spend more time in the promises that God talks about your future in the name of Jesus. Come on, hallelujah. Let go of your yesterday, your regrets, and embrace the future that God has for you. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, one thing I do, I forget what is behind. Everybody say, I forget. And is there anybody at the back or in the sound box, right at the back? Amen. Amen. I want you in this miracle. I'm not on your case. I know we've had conference. I know we're tired, but I'm here to help you. You have to let go. You have to forget. You can't carry the burden of yesterday into the promised land. You can't live in your what could have been, should have been, should not have been. If only, if I did, you can't change yesterday. You have to let go of the regret of yesterday. Paul the Apostle says, one thing I do, forgetting. Everybody say, I forget. You have to forget and you have to forgive. Because your past can keep you from your tomorrow. One of the main ways to overcome disappointment in life is to let go of yesterday. Don't let yesterday's regrets destroy the hopes of tomorrow. Let go of those negative emotions. Stop reliving somebody else's mistake. Choose to forgive those who hurt you. Forgive those who sinned against you. Release them. Because unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment will stop God's blessing in your life more than anything else. Holding on to your past will poison your future and destroy your dreams. When you choose to forgive people, you choose to walk free into the future that God has for you. You trade your sorrow for His joy. That's what I love about the cross, a divine exchange. That's what took place. The work of substitution. All my mistakes was placed upon Him. My sin, my failures, my flaws, my inferiorities. A divine exchange took place. So when I look at my future, I look at my future through the eyes of Christ. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. Come on. We cannot change yesterday, but we can plan to live a great tomorrow. Somebody shout hallelujah. I love you guys so much. Thank you for helping me, helping my voice here. God bless you. May God refresh you. You know, there's a wonderful scripture that says, as we refresh others, God refresh us. Come on, give it up again for all these wonderful musicians, the camera people, the sound people, those behind the scenes, those watching on the screens, editing. We love all of you. Come on, you are the best. We cheer you on. Thank you for making this work possible. God bless you. Hallelujah. You see, I'm a pastor. I know what it takes to build a church. People. People are our possessions, not money. Money comes, people. People are everything. If you're a pastor watching, love people and you'll never lack for people. Love people. Love them. Appreciate them. Honor them. Number three, you've got to prophesy overflow. You've got to talk to your future. Joel chapter 2, he says, it will come to pass, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and your sons and your daughters will do what? Will prophesy. What do people do? They talk about the past. God says, prophesy the future. Believe in the future. Get a vision for the future. Get a restoration mentality. Prophesy. Get death and doubt out of your tongue. Let go of negative talking. Stop murmuring. Stop complaining. Stop questioning. And prophesy. Acts chapter 2. And on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I prophesied to my future. God said to me, 7 million souls in 7 years in South Africa. I prophesy 7 million souls in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to see 7 million people saved. I prophesy in the next 7 years, we're going to fill every great stadium in South Africa with a gospel crusade in the name of Jesus. I prophesy heaven into South Africa, peace into South Africa, blessing over Australia in the name of Jesus. Prophesy. Prophesy over your business. Prophesy over your marriage. Prophesy over your children. You've got to prophesy. Make a decision and prophesy. My son David, 24 years old, handsome boy, really are. It looks like his dad, amen, hallelujah. So when he's my younger version, improved version, revised version, whatever. And it's a funny thing, people are funny. But he trains hard, he looks good. But he uses nothing. People don't like it. People don't look good if you look good and you use nothing. They want to believe you use something. He uses nothing. Natural, because we understand how things damage you. But listen, I say this to say this. When he was born with club feet. You know what club feet? His feet were turned in like this and turned out like that. Bent like this. My boy. Little feet like this, turned in. Twisted out. His legs bent like this. So we obviously had him to the doctor. The doctor said we're going to have to put his leg in those iron braces, and he had to go through several operations, etc. I said to my wife, we're going to believe God, yeah. So every day of my life, I didn't allow anybody to speak any negative thing over my son. So the lady who worked there, my some of my family one day came to visit us, and they looked at my son and they said, they wanted to say something. I said, it was my mother. I said to Mom, you know, I love you, but never ever say anything over my son. Otherwise, I'm not going to allow you. I say, I love you, but you're not going to talk. You're not going to bring that spirit of, and she's a woman of faith, but she was speaking out of concern and not out of faith in that moment. We made up our mind. I said to my wife, if you can say nothing, then say nothing. I'll do the talking. Every day I took my son's feet, Pastor Russell Sam, every day, put those little feet in my hands. And I said to him, David, you're going to be a mighty man of God. David, these feet are going to carry you to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. David, you're going to play rugby. Hallelujah. David, you're going to do great things for God. Oh, hallelujah. David, I spoke the word of God over those legs. And little by little, listen, little by little. Sometimes God does miracles, sometimes he doesn't. I can't give you the answers. I've prayed for people and they've died, and I've prayed for people not believing and they've lived. Listen, grace. I don't know everything, but I know what the word of God commands me to do. Took those little hands, took those little feet, and his feet started straightening out. First this way, and then he started walking. He walked like this. I mean, he couldn't walk. He walked forward like this. He was like off balance. So when he walked, it was like running forward. I kept putting those little feet in my hands. Couldn't put shoes on him. He was going to be a barefoot evangelist, amen. But I kept prophesying. I kept prophesying. Take your seat. Thank you. I kept prophesying. Kept prophesying. Kept prophesying. That's what God says to Ezekiel. Son of man, can these bones live? Can your marriage live? Can your physical body live? Thank God for miracles when they happen, but we don't live by miracles, we live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We please God by faith. Thank God that healing is the children's bread and we receive it by faith. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You can lay your hands on yourself at any time and speak life. When God brought Ezekiel over the valley of the dry bones, the first thing God said to him, son of man, can these bones live? He said, you know God. Of course God knows, he's God. God knows nothing is impossible. Mark 10:27, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God, for with God all things are possible. God knows. But God asks you. Of course, we can stand in church and without realizing it, we become cynical. We're in church, but we become a spectator. Luke 5, power of the Lord present. We receive nothing. The greatest atmosphere, we receive nothing because we don't activate our faith. I'm not criticizing you. I'm trying to help somebody in this place because we think God's just going to do it. And sometimes he does. I said it in one of my sermons. Sometimes he chases you down. Visitation. But most of the time, I don't want to put a percentage to it. You have to press into God. You have to draw closer to God. You have to humble yourself. You serve him with fasting and prayer. Oh, we don't like this fasting stuff. No, you humble yourself through fasting and prayer. Well, I don't have to do anything. I know you don't have to do anything and just stay where you are. Or you can get hungry for God and press in, press in, press in, press in. Like the woman with the issue of blood, you can press in. You can activate your faith. And like that woman, you can say, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. I shall be made whole. She said and she kept on saying. She prophesied to herself. You've got to prophesy to yourself. You've got to prophesy to your wife. You've got to prophesy to your children. Watch what you say. Because Proverbs 6 verse 2 says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. Proverbs 18:21, a man's belly is satisfied by good with the fruit of his lip. Verse 21, life and death in the power of the tongue. Hebrews 10:23, hold fast to the confession of your faith without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 2 Corinthians 4:13, we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. We believe and we speak. We also believe and we speak. Out of the abundance of the heart we speak. We prophesy. So when the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, what did God do? God changed their language. God gave them the ability to prophesy. What is prophecy? It's not, sister over there, your name is. It's declaring the future under the unction of the Holy Ghost, speaking the promises of God. Can these bones live? Yes. God said, prophesy. He said, and as I prophesied, there was a shaking. As I prophesied, read it, Ezekiel 37. As I prophesied, not before. Can they live? Yes. Prophesy, as I prophesied. There was a shaking, there was a noise. Second time, God says to him, prophesy to the wind, Holy Spirit, breath of life. So there was a coming together, but it was still lifeless. So God says to him, bring life. How? Prophesy. Speak the future. Prophesy. As I prophesied, the breath entered them, and they stood to their feet, an exceeding great army. The third time, they still didn't move. It was an army, but they never moved because The consuming locust, the opposing locust was stopping him. Through what? Through what people were saying. People in the church were saying, leaders were saying, shutting up the atmosphere of God to move in an environment. When people say the opposite to the man of God, they stop what God wants to do in a church, in a city, in a nation. And he says, God says to him, you don't know it, but I know it. The people are saying things behind your back. Prophesy. Because it doesn't matter what they say, you build the altar, your shalom, in the presence. You don't go on a witch hunt. You build a greater altar. You declare, come on, by the fire, by the anointing of God, you declare the future. You prophesy and watch what God will do. Oh, come on, somebody shout hallelujah in the name of Jesus. You've got to prophesy, prophesy, prophesy. I want to say this, please, a moment, take your seat, thank you. Listen. People jump up in our church as well. I'm not uncomfortable when people jump up. I appreciate and I understand. I also am a jumper. Amen. Now I distracted myself. What was I going to say, Pastor Tim? I'll pick it up now. That's it. Our church was doing incredibly well. Like 10, 11, 12 years ago. People were getting saved. Power of God was moving. And then suddenly it was like a lid was placed upon the church. Everything was the same, but it was like a lid. I didn't understand what was happening. Same, people getting saved. But it's like something wasn't there that should be there. Then one year when I was on holidays, I was praying, God told me, there are those opposing you that are resisting you in the spirit. Not with their words, but their attitudes, resisting you. Pray for me to remove them. Now, doesn't sound like overflow, does it? In one year, eight of them resigned. Eight of my staff, people I thought that were key staff people. But they became familiar with the anointing, the process. And some of them began to think they're bringing the anointing to the house. Now, I don't know if this is right for this session, but I'm saying it in any case. Maybe it's a leadership session, which you all are. I had people come and say, oh, we brought the spirit of evangelism to the house. I thought, but where were you when I got called? Now, as senior pastors, we say nothing, but we observe. So I prayed, God removed eight of them. First Sunday of the new year. I mean, I came back from all that. I thought, what's going to happen? The church just exploded. Bums on the seat, over 800 people more from the highest attendance we had ever to just, and not just a once off, just suddenly the church jumped like this and we started growing in leaps and bounds. And I realized what God was saying to the prophet. Everybody can be positive and say the right thing, yeah, but if there's a shift in our hearts, we will stop a move of God. It is a sacred thing that God is doing in our world. Raising up churches like this, our church, men and women of God. Protect it with your life. Protect unity with your life. Cover this couple with your lives. Protect both of them with your lives. Come on, help me in the name of Jesus. Somebody, that's a word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, cover them, love them with everything that you've got. Because this is only the beginning. God says, new things I will declare. Number three, you've got to receive overflow into your life. Luke chapter 5, the doctors of the law were sitting by while Jesus was preaching and nobody received anything. People broke the roof, brought a man, God did a miracle. God can do in a moment what no man can do in a lifetime. Receive the miracle, receive the overflow in your spirit. Zechariah 4 verse 6, the Bible says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Isaiah 59:19, the second part says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Isaiah 10:27, every yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing and the burden will be removed. That's the God that we serve. Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell in unity. For there the Lord commands the blessing. When we stand in unity before the throne of God, not only does God inhabit our praises, God commands a blessing when we stand together. I don't know what you are facing, where you are, but I want to tell you that God loves you, that God cares about you, that this overflow is not just for the church. It is for the church, but it's for you, because you are the church. Whatever has been robbing you, plundering you, chewing away at your life, consuming, making you crawl, live under the burden, God says, I want you free. Because we all fight our secret battles. We share our public testimonies. We fight our secret battles. God is interested in the secret battle, because if you don't win the secret battle, your public testimony will become nothing. So it is the secret battle that God says, when you're all by yourself, alone in a meeting like this, that I will come and I will put my hand upon you and I will remove the burden and I will fill your heart with hope and I will bring faith back into your heart. And I will declare the new thing that I have for you. I will show you everything that I've planned for you.
Hi, it's Russell Evans here. I'm so excited that you joined us today. We pray that this sermon and the ministry was a blessing to you. Why don't you subscribe to Planet Shakers on YouTube, on Instagram, Facebook, download our app. We want to connect with you and we really want to see you empowered to make a difference in your world. Have a great day. You are a Planet Shaker.